With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Way blitz time on Grant and Danny. When you're in the World Series, you lead off the blitz, even if the football team played yesterday and didn't score a point. The Nats scored as many runs yesterday without playing as the Redskins scored points.
Always a good sign.
Ugh. Let's get to the baseball club. Craig Heist, boys and girls, our Nats beat reporter. You know we got to talk to Star the day before the series starts. Heisty, how you feeling about the matchup with the Astros?
I feel pretty good about it, at least better than the national pundits are feeling about it. I mean, the Nationals are the biggest underdog, or actually, I better should say it this way, the Astros are the biggest favored in the World Series since, I guess, 2007 when the Red Sox played the Colorado Rockies. So a decided underdog the Nationals are, but with the way they've run through this postseason, I'm not so sure that the pundits are right at this point.
Hi, Steve. Nobody's figured out what to do when you don't play for 6 days, 5 days, 7 days, as the Nationals kind of had to go through just now. What's the best recipe and what did they do to try to attack that layoff?
Well, they had a workout on Friday. They actually had a workout on a little bit of a workout on Thursday where they did some sim stuff. But they had a workout on Friday, and they did everything that to try to keep it as normal and get their work in. And that's basically, Danny, I think the only thing you can do when you have such a layoff. Now, is it going to affect them? Well, I think you'd like to keep that momentum going. But, again, I'm not that worried about it when you can throw the starting pitching out there that the Nationals can throw out there. And, of course, you know, the Astros have the great pitching, too. But I still give the edge to the Nationals in that regard because there's really four guys that they can throw out there.
Danny and I have made a huge deal about the seven-day layoff, and history says it's a problem. Davey Martinez, Mike Rizzo both acknowledged to me right after they wrapped up their series with the Cardinals they were worried about it. What have they done to combat 7 days without a game?
Well, like I said, you know, they did Thursday, they did a sim game, a couple of things on the field, and got some hitters looking at live pitching. And they had a basic workout on Friday. A couple of guys told me they ran the bases in drills just like they would in spring training. So I think they tried to do everything they could to keep the routine as normal as you can when you're not playing.
Did they contact, like, you know, they all know other people from other organizations. Were they contacting, say, people from that old Rockies team or whatever to say, hey, how did you guys do it? Everyone had a plan. They all do the same types of things you're describing. Like, did they do research into it, or is it too difficult this late into the game?
Well, if they did, I didn't talk to Dave Martinez or Mike Rizzo about it. But I'm sure they talked to some. Some players were asked whether or not they, talked to some other players that they know around the league. And to a man, I think I got the impression that the players weren't that worried about it.
How do you beat Gerrit Cole? Nobody's done it since May, Heisty. He has given a one earned run through three postseason starts. He's terrific right now, probably throwing the ball better than anybody on the planet. What's the plan of attack against him?
Well, I think you got to make him throw strikes and get pitches to hit. That's the biggest thing in my mind, and not get, you know, be patient, work the count, try to get him to throw as many pitches as you can, and try not to get yourself out. I mean, he's good enough on his own, Danny. You know that. But again, it's up to the Nationals to have good at-bats against him.
Okay, Danny asks about Gerrit Cole. Same question for Justin Verlander. And even though Zach Greinke has struggled, look, the Nats have never really squared him up or blistered him the way that you'd like. I mean, is the plan just similar for the other two guys?
Well, I would think I think that the basic plan is always the same in that regard. But, again, keep in mind, though, Verlander, he's had two in the postseason already that haven't been that great. So, again, is he going to be on top of his game? History says, well, you know, he's Justin Verlander, and he's probably going to be. But, again, the Nationals have to figure out a way to exploit him.
Heist, do you think the Astros are going to do one of those bullpen games like they did in Game 6 with Urquidy and
maybe
Peacock?
Game 4.
Maybe Game 4. Do you think they'll do that, or will they go short rest with one of their studs?
I would not be surprised if they do it because, you know, the challenge for the Nationals and Dave Martinez is to be very, very smart with his starting pitching in terms of what guys he uses out of the bullpen depending on what game it is and what the situation is in terms of whether you're up or you're down. But, yeah, from the Astros' standpoint, I would expect them to use a bullpen game maybe in Game 4 or Game 5.
Appreciate you, Heisty. Thanks, pal.
All right.
Always good. Real quick, let me add to what he just said. I get that they probably will use a bullpen game in Game 4, just me thinking out loud. I wouldn't. Gerrit Cole's a free agent. I don't know if he's coming back or not, but, like, what are you protecting him or these guys from for going on three days rest, unless you think he just can't be that
good.
Unless
he won't be as good.
Which I don't. I believe Gerrit Cole on 3 days rest is better than a bullpen.
Because he's gotten a lot of rest.
I mean, this is it. This is the end of the line. There's no stop after this. So you might as well just throw him on short rest and pitch him as soon as you can. Let's talk some football. Craig Hoffman, I sat next to him yesterday at FedEx Field. We shared in whatever that was. Craig, no points. Where should we start? Is there anything you could take out of that game?
No, the weather sucked. It destroyed everything. And that's really what you take out. I mean, I think the other thing you maybe want to take out is just how conservative Callahan is. Like, clearly, they were scared to throw it. And I think there's a valid argument to be made that that's a warranted fear, considering how Case did look when he threw it. But the difference in the game is Garoppolo threw for 150 yards and Case threw for 77. And that came down to attempts. So that's what I take out of it. I didn't really agree with that, but I also was sitting next to you in a press box as opposed to experiencing those elements for myself.
Why isn't this offensive line playing better? Let me rephrase that. The right side specifically, where I feel, you know, Scherf and Moses, I feel good about that. It doesn't seem like it's happening the way that we expected it to happen, and the left side seems to be okay. That's anecdotal, just me watching a fat lump on my couch, but I thought those guys would be the lead geese here. It doesn't seem to be going that way.
No, they certainly haven't been dominant like we thought they were going to be capable of, and at times they've been bad. Sheriff has been called for a number of penalties this year. You know, the thing that happened with Moses yesterday, he didn't want to throw anybody under the bus this morning on the junkies, which I found funny because Case admitted it was his fault yesterday at the podium. So we know that was not his fault, the one where he just basically stands still. He didn't know the snap count or was told the wrong snap count or whatever it is, and Case said that was on him. So, but overall, I mean, I don't have a great answer for you, Danny. Like, I can't break it down to the level of like hand placement, technique, and stuff, other than tell you that it hasn't been good enough. And then, to me, the biggest concern in the run game is their lack of consistency moving people. How often the line of scrimmage is right at the line of scrimmage, so to speak. Like, the lines are clashing there as opposed to 2-3 yards downfield where they're able to move it. And then, you know, even if you gain no yards after contact, you're going forward. And that's been a huge problem on that right side this year. And their inability to be consistent in the run game has hurt them, especially as they've gone completely to a running offense here in the last couple of weeks.
Did yesterday make it any more likely that we see Dwayne Haskins at some point?
It didn't hurt. That's for sure. I think at this point it's going to be Case having to hold Dwayne off, because if he's not playing well, it makes no sense not to just throw him out there. If Case isn't playing well, it makes no sense not to just throw Dwayne out there if you're not going to get any production anyway. Like, there are very nuanced things where I can say, hey, having a veteran quarterback, for instance, helps in the run game because you're going to be in the right play more often, where Dwayne might miss a check or two every now and again. Again, it's not like he every snap doesn't know what he's doing, but the consistency level of being in the right play is something that Case is going to do better than Dwayne at this point. And when 60% of your plays are rush plays, like, you'd rather have the right play. But that doesn't make up for having no production in the passing game. And if that's where the offense is right now, I think we're going to see him sooner rather than later. Not this week for sure on the short week, but I think within the next, you know, the two games after that are the ones I've had circled for a long time.
Craig, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it.
You got it. See you guys.
See you, dude. Let's talk puck, please, Tommy. Our buddy J.J. Reagan, NBC Sports Washington, Jerry Jeff Walker Reagan. It's kind of the same thing. Now, they ended up winning. They came back after they gave up that lead, but we've seen them blow another 2-goal lead here. But it's still a good start to the road trip. How do we evaluate last night?
You know, for the most part, they played pretty well. They dominated a team that has given them fits in Chicago the last few years. In the last two games prior to last night, they've given up 15 goals to the Blackhawks in Chicago. So, you know, overall, pretty good performance. They, as even though they let in 44 shots on goal, they blocked 31 of them. So they were just – Chicago was just a shooting machine last night. Overall, I thought it was a pretty good game. There was only one real line that gave them fits, and it almost cost them as they did come back, as you mentioned. But for the most part, I think it's a pretty solid start to the road trip. And most importantly, Braden Holtby was back to his old self, making 41 saves. So good start to the road trip.
Yeah, they needed that. JJ, explain to people how unbelievable John Carlson has been. He was named one of the three stars of the week. 4 games, 8 points, 7 assists. Right now, he leads the NHL in assists with 15 and points with 18 through 10 games. He's a defenseman. That shouldn't happen. He is right now John McDavid, as far as I'm concerned.
That's a good way of putting it. What he's doing is absolutely incredible. And he's not just racking up the points off the secondary assists either. He's getting great plays. Last night, the best play of the game, I thought, was his pass to Alex Ovechkin. Just a quick one-touch pass, cross ice, setting up the one-timer. He is absolutely incredible. And for defensemen, there are two other defensemen who have managed 18 points in their first 10 games, at least 18 points in their first 10 games. Those other two defensemen are Paul Coffey and Bobby Orr. It doesn't get any more elite than that when it comes to a defenseman. So what he is doing right now is absolutely remarkable. And on a team with Alex Ovechkin, Evgeny Kuznetsov, Nicholas Backstrom, TJ Oshie, Braden Holtby, the best player, the superstar on this team right now is John Carlson.
Jimmy Johnson Reagan. I'm not talking about Jimmy Johnson, the coach, by the way. Jimmy Johnson, the NASCAR driver, to make sure that we're clear about that. Appreciate the time,
buddy. Thanks for clearing that up. Yep, anytime.
We'll see you, dude.
You're a good man, and you're thorough in your Capitals analysis. There's JJ Reagan, NBCSportsWashington.com. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Shutout. Rainy, nasty day at FedEx Field. Haskins isn't going to play against the Vikings on a short week, and he shouldn't. What about after that? The Redskins play in 3 days. Thursday night football.
Yuck.
Their one nationally televised Thursday night game of the season. Every team's got to do it once. Them's the rules. They get the Vikings and Kirk Cousins, an old friend, in primetime in Minneapolis. Now, the Vikings on the road, a little less arduous a task, perhaps. Sometimes they play down to the level of their opponents. At home, indoors, on carpet, they're normally really, really good. Although they could be without Adam Thielen. He got hurt making a great touchdown catch on a dime.
It was a hamstring, right? I didn't see the result.
He was hobbling around. I didn't see exactly what it was. It was leg, but it might have been hamstring. But stretching it out and couldn't really get it loose and didn't come back into the game. But that was a dime from Cousins, who threw four touchdowns and was great yesterday. And you know who's been really good the last couple weeks? It's Stephon Diggs after saying he wanted to be traded. Thielen was irate with basically how often they were running the ball and how little they were throwing it. And I'm sure to some extent he and Diggs were probably frustrated with Cousins' performance. He comes in and he gets guaranteed all the money. And against Green Bay, he played a really bad football game. And against Chicago, he really struggled. Last 3 weeks, though, he's completely lit it up, and that offense has been rolling. And to their credit, their coordinator, Kevin Stefanski, has kind of completely changed the way he does things.
That's right.
They were number one in the NFL in rushing attempts in the first few weeks of the season, and because of that, offensively, they were bad. Really, really, really bad. Well, what have they done? They're now, I think, 12th or 13th after yesterday in rushing attempts in the NFL over the last three games, as they've thrown it way more often, particularly on first down. And they've moved the ball through the air to set up the run, and they've opened things wide up. Stefanski's kind of had this change of pace, paradigm shift, and it's worked really, really well. And Thielen's happier, Diggs is happier, and Cousins, who's a rhythm thrower, has gotten into a rhythm.
Well, two things. One, remember, rush attempts is the most important thing, regardless of anything else. Second, that was a great game yesterday, that Detroit-Minnesota game. In the balance.
The Lions are decent.
Yeah, the Lions have been frisky. They have a couple of these losses where they took Kansas City to the mat. They had a tight one with Green Bay they probably should have won. They lost this one to Minnesota, but they're not pushovers. The most important play in this game happens where Minnesota, they're going back and forth, right? Whoever's got the ball last looks like they're going to win. Minnesota's got a big moment, and it is a run off right tackle with about 3 minutes left, set up a second and five. And you figure we're just going to run the ball out. We're going to give
what they've done all year.
We're going to do what we've done all year, and they're going to try to run the clock. And they get a first down, they win. Well, after the timeout, little play action piece, 66-yard bomb from Cousins to Stephon Diggs, ball game. Basically, right there in that moment, trusting both those guys because no Thielen, Diggs wins, has tons of separation. Cousins throws it basically as far as he can. Diggs comes down with it, huge gain. Then you're pretty much done. They end up scoring a touchdown on it, but that was the ball game right there.
Vikings right now are number 3 in the NFL in yards per play on offense. They are number 6 overall in total offense a game, number 2 in yards per play passing, number 3 in rushing. I mean, they do everything well on the offensive side of the ball, which is a huge departure from what was happening for them in the first couple weeks. But let's get into kind of what matters, what we want to talk about from a Redskins standpoint. Look, you cannot play Dwayne Haskins in this game. If you're not willing to play him in the rain, handing it off 50 times, and running it 3 against San Francisco, then it goes without saying that you're not going to ask him to go line up against the Minnesota Vikings defense, which from a personnel standpoint is probably better than the results. But they're the number 6 defense in the league right now. They are number 7 against the run. They're number 6 in yards per play against the pass. But what about after that Vikings game? If the Redskins lose and they go 1-7, do you go to Dwayne Haskins at that point? I know everyone keeps saying he's not ready, he can't play. If it's that simple and it's just not a conversation we can have, fine.
That's
Let's just
important
put
to
a stamp
too.
On
yeah.
it, never talk about it again. But we also need to acknowledge that he shouldn't have been picked at number 15 overall if that's the case. Because there's no real track record of a terrible team with bad quarterback play not playing a mid-first-round pick at the midway point of its year. But the Bills are next. That's a really good defense. Do we want to shelter him from the Bills because they're good and that might lead to a boo-boo? I don't know. If you get past the Bills, let's just say you wait and you say the Vikings, great defensively. Bills, awesome defensively. Let's not do it in those two games. Then it's the bye week. After the bye week, you have 7 games left. To me, it will be completely inexcusable at, let's just say at best, let's give them a win in one of these next two games and say they steal one against a team they'll be heavy underdogs against.
All right.
But let's say they are 2-7 through 9. Probably going to be 1-8, by the way. Let's say they're 2-7. 7 games to go. You're not going to play him against the Jets or the Lions or Kyle Allen and the Panthers. Do you really think there's a chance we don't see Dwayne Haskins this year?
I do think there's a chance more than I did before. I mean, this is such a far departure. I thought when he was drafted that this was going to be a mandate, a dictate. I don't care about who else you have on the roster. I need my new toy to be deployed.
I still think at some point that's going to happen. They announced 61,000 at the stadium yesterday. There wasn't 35,000 people there.
No way, right?
If Dan and Bruce see that crowd a couple more times, I think they just say to Bill Callahan,
come on, dude.
We need something.
Right.
Who's going to watch? I mean, think about TV. Forget attendance, TV ratings. That was a shutout, awful, bad weather game yesterday. And the story, because of how bad the weather was, is not the crowd. But I'll bet you it was about maybe 55, 45 Redskins fans, 50, 50, something like that. There were a ton of Niners fans.
Yeah.
It's a California team. It's going to be really, really bad at FedEx Field. It only takes one or two more of those to me before they go, we got nothing else. Put Haskins out there.
Let's just see. So I do think it's a possibility, right? If the coaching staff is allowed to have their way. And then I get the sense that they have no interest in playing him. And the reason I think that is because they're all trying to prove that they're good. Bill Callahan wants to show you that his way is going to do it. Kevin O'Connell wants to show you that he can be an effective play caller. You go on down the line. Guys don't want to move. Guys don't want to get fired. Guys want to keep their gigs. Guys want to keep the offices, have their key cards still work. So they're going to do with this dumb axiom of give us the best chance to win on Sunday, right? Okay, best chance to pull out 4 wins this year, 3. That's what you're going for. But they want signs of life. If this was a cohesive, smart, sharp organization, they would say, not formally, because you can't announce this, apparently, because it's still taboo, but you would say, it's not about this year. It never was. When you drafted Dwayne Haskins, it wasn't about this year. And it was a bad marriage to put in with Jay Gruden, who was fighting for his job this year. You'd be able to say, if we don't win, that's okay, because we're trying to do something major. We're trying to do something great. Have a quarterback emerge from this god-awful garbage pile and lead us into the promised land. Our only chance to be good for the next decade is if this kid's great. If not, we got to try something else. We're going to throw a dart at the magic board. But right now, there's no incentive for Bill Callahan to get this guy on the field, because Bill Callahan would like to not go to the unemployment line and try to catch on somewhere else and buy a house and go through all the logistics. He wants to be the head coach. And he's going to demonstrate that his way will keep you in games. And they might fall for it, honestly. I mean, that's just kind of how it's going to go, in my opinion. So I do think there's a possibility we don't see him.
If Keenum plays better and looks like he did against the Eagles or even against the Cowboys the next week, then this could be moot. And at least you're moving the ball and you're developing Terry McLaurin. And there's enough good happening where Haskins won't be the story. You know, for the first 3 weeks of the season, he genuinely was not a story at all. Keenum had played pretty well up until
that. Because you're going
to
Keenum's fault they're owned.
But now, I mean, as you're watching, I don't know how you can avoid it. Every snap on offense that goes the way that it is leads back to some type of Haskins thought. Keenum obviously going to get the call against the Vikings. That goes without saying. What do you guys make of the shutout loss and what it means for Haskins? Should he play after the bye week? Should we stop talking about this? He's not ready. He's not ready. It's that simple. If he isn't ready, is there another conversation we got to have about why? 800-636-1067 is the number. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. Jesse Dougherty of the Washington Post, who's covered the Nats all season long, joins us at 1:25 minutes from now to preview World Series Game 1, which starts tomorrow night in Houston. In fact, Danny and I are flying out to Houston right after the show today.
We certainly are.
We're going to get right over to the airport via an Uber, or as my mom would call it, a Uber.
Really?
Yeah, my parents call it a Uber.
How come?
I haven't quite gotten the U at the beginning of that yet.
Do they're aware that everyone else pronounces it differently and they don't care, or they're not aware? You know what I'm saying?
It's a great question. I've reminded them several times it's Uber. And then they don't care enough to remember. Do I think that they know it's Uber and they say Uber? No.
If there was a test and they had to write down or like say the correct answer for like huge stakes, like for $1 million,
I think they would still say Uber.
U-B-E-R. Bang. And they would go Uber and they would lose $1 million?
That's right.
Wow, that's tough.
I'm pretty sure. Be a hard way to lose $1 million.
That's tough, though.
Let's hope that doesn't happen. So Dwayne Haskins is not playing. We all know that. And we all understand it. I mean, I am first team all. I've said sit him. Don't play him anytime soon. Wait till you're out of contention. We're coming up on out of contention.
Aren't we there?
I wouldn't have played him to start yesterday's game. Honestly, I think I would have probably played him in the second half, assuming that after he got first team reps this week, which he did, because Case Keenum didn't practice one day. You have a package of plays that he likes a little bit. His arm strength, his hand size in the driving rain, I think you could have done a little bit more throwing the football probably. Just statuesque, big body in the pocket, taking some shots as opposed to kind of Keenum running around. I would have taken my chances. You're running the ball 75% of the time anyway. In the third or fourth quarter of a game where you don't have any points. But last time you put him off the bench, you know, everybody alleged that you were up to no good and you wanted to make him look bad and you hate the guy or whatever
ridiculous.
They were saying. So that was preposterous. So here we are. Minnesota Vikings, Thursday night, short week. No chance I'm playing Dwayne Haskins. It's not because necessarily Minnesota's really good. It's a short week. He's got no time to prepare for that game. So rule that one out. Then you have a week and a half. You actually have like almost a second built-in bye week. Mike Shanahan used to love playing Thursday night games because you'd game plan for two games at once. And then he felt like it was an additional bye week to the real bye week you got for the 10 days or so after before your game to rest everybody up. So he would have really liked this schedule. Here's the deal. Buffalo's excellent defensively. I know that this is pro football and it sounds like we're just hiding a kid. It's because we are hiding a kid.
In a way, yeah.
Which tells you a lot about Dwayne Haskins probably, but you don't need to play him then if you don't want to.
Buffalo's allowed a 70 quarterback rating to their opponents.
No thanks.
Say that again, 70. They are awesome at stopping the pass.
So let's wait till after that, and then you got a bye week, and you got 2 full weeks to get him ready for a little bit softer landing moving forward. I will just say what I said earlier, and I'm asking, I'm not telling. If you got an answer, call me. I want to write it down, and I want to give you all the credit in the world. What terrible team that has drafted a quarterback in the first round that has a journeyman playing really poorly has ever not gone to that early to mid first round pick? Name the guy. I would add to that who was a player of the year in a power conference. Or that he threw 50 touchdowns at a blue blood school in a program that's a blue chipper. No, but I don't even need to add the context. Now, if it's as simple as, dude, Haskins isn't ready, the coaches are saying it. Okay. Then that tells me that, A, he should have been drafted at number 15. If he would embarrass himself by playing more than the average rookie embarrasses himself, because the floor is not high. The floor is Daniel Jones yesterday looked bad, by the way.
Yeah,
People say nice things about Daniel Jones.
Since that Tampa game, he's been awful. Three more turnovers yesterday. But
awful might be aggressive, by the way.
I think it's pretty fair. I would want
you to look up those numbers.
But he's not good.
Rookies, in general, are going to struggle. That's kind of what you expect from a rookie. No one's saying Dwayne Haskins is going to hit the ground sprinting. What you're looking for is Daniel Jones, who's got about the same number of touchdowns as interceptions, and through a little over a quarter of a season is on pace for like a 4,000-yard passing year and has a rating of 75. That's a perfectly reasonable, very solid rookie stint for a 22-year-old. Now, has he played a lot more than Dwayne Haskins? He has. Does he have a lot more college experience than Dwayne Haskins? He does. Ups, downs, picks, touchdowns, terrible mistakes. You can live through that stuff. If him having those mistakes is somehow going to prevent him from ever being a good quarterback again, then he doesn't have the mental makeup anyway. So I guess here's the question. It's a lot of words, and I don't know if I'm making any sense. What I want people to answer is, after yesterday's game and after the last month, 6 points averaged per game for a month, you're bad and you're going nowhere and you're getting horrific quarterback play. Are you coming around at all on they should play Dwayne Haskins as soon as possible? Yes or no? That's my question.
What I've asked for from the beginning here and what that actually translates to, I think, has changed as we've learned more. We got more and more data points about enough people saying that he's not quite ready to go. I have asked to treat this as a unique case because it is unique. And here's what I mean. The number of teams that have drafted a quarterback to save them that have been terrible and the quarterback hasn't saved them, and we think of them as punchlines now. I'd like that not to happen to Dwayne Haskins. So I don't necessarily need to say, well, Detroit was awful and they played Joey Harrington. Well, that worked out terribly. Let's try something different. We then add to the uniqueness of this a guy that has so little experience going to a terrible team. Mitch Trubisky had no experience, but he went to a pretty good organization in Chicago that has a defense that is starting to build something. And he has been not particularly good, but, you know, it's not a disaster. He's not like falling all over himself. The point I'm trying to make is I have no problem with tweeting. I'm sure the Redskins tweeting. Treating this.
You love to tweet.
Yeah, I'm a big tweeter. At Funny Danny, at Grant H. Paulson. I have no problem with treating this case as a unique one because I think it is. I think that's okay. A patient approach where you let someone else take all the bumps and bruises and get their butts kicked and you do what you think sets him up for success. To try the thing that the Redskins don't do at any level of their organization. Whether it's a coach who gets a player foisted on him that he doesn't want, whether it's a general manager that is told to turn his phone off, a.k.a. Doug Williams, whatever the job of the person is, what the Redskins do is set that guy up to be a scapegoat, have him fail, and then try to embarrass him on the way out the door. That's at every level. That's from the water boy all the way up to Brian LaFemina, an executive. I like the idea of saying, let's do what's best for the kid because he's too important. That's conversation one. But conversation two is, if we can't do the minimum right now, if all we're hearing is about how far away a guy is, we can't even put together a package of 15 plays that Josh Johnson ran right to some success last year.
He can't come in yesterday, and I know the rain was bad, hand it off and throw a couple play action boots 10 yards downfield. He can't, if you're getting blown out by the Vikings 27-7 in the second half this week, he can't come off the bench and run 10 or 12 plays for you?
Then now we have to
have garbage time?
I think two conversations can be had. And the second conversation is, if he's not ready to do anything basic in the league right now, and if that's the evidence, then there's a bigger problem and a larger conversation that needs to be had.
Big, big problem. 800-636-1067. And again, nobody's saying when he plays, he's going to look like a Pro Bowler or that he needs to. I want him to look like a guy that makes a lot of mistakes and shows some good things occasionally, too. Basically like he did in the preseason.
Yeah, I don't care about a turnover, too. I just care about him not seeing a rusher coming time after time and getting cracked in the ribs and concussed and all those other kind of things. If that's what we're talking about, then oh, man.
I want to see him developing some pocket awareness.
Yeah.
Getting the ball out a little quicker. Maybe picking some things up pre-snap that he didn't before. 800-636-1067. Your call's next. Should we just stop talking about Dwayne Haskins and accept that he's not going to play? Or would it be nice to see the kid in a couple of weeks after these next two games? I posted a picture yesterday on Twitter. I was walking into the stadium. Did you see this? A lot of Redskins fans reacted to this. There was a guy, I know him a little bit. I've seen his tailgate for years. He tailgates not far from where my wife and her brother and the crew tailgate over in D70 in the green lot. And I walk by his tailgate and he's all by himself. It's just him. But he put up his burgundy and gold tent and he's got like a box with a bunch of handles of liquor that he pulled out. He's got a Redskins helmet and a Redskins chair and he fired up a grill and he's playing loud music. Here he is right here.
Yeah, I saw that guy. I saw that picture with his
picture.
Big yellow sneakers, the big burgundy sneakers.
So he's just by himself. Uh-huh. And I went up to him. I said, dude, I said, where's your tailgate? And I'm thinking, he's like, oh, they're stuck in traffic or whatever, you know. And he goes, it's just me today.
They're stuck not coming.
And I said, what do you mean it's just you today? He goes, everyone else bailed on me. That was the quote. I said, literally everyone? He said, everyone else bailed on me. He said, I got one guy who's going to come over maybe and hang out. He normally has 10, 15, 20 people. I've seen as many as probably more than 20, but maybe 10 or 15 people at this tailgate. Everyone bailed on him. I said, oh, my goodness. He goes, even my wife today told me she wasn't coming. And she basically, I guess, thought he was dumb for coming. But
like
he's a diehard. So he was going to be there. So he's out there. Now, I would have just not brought a tent. And not done anything. I would have just driven to the game.
You sat in your running car eating chicken.
I would have just latched onto a tailgate. Like, honestly, he knows us over at our tailgate where we were. Just walk over and just eat and drink with us and hang out. He set up all of his own stuff.
Wow.
And cooked his own food and played his own music. But I posted the tweet. It said, God bless this guy and the several thousand Redskins fans who are at today's game to watch their 1-5 team play in the rain. One of the worst weather games I can remember at FedEx Field. And yet, that wasn't the craziest fan that I met yesterday. I don't know if you saw this tweet from after the game.
Who's this?
Jeff, a guy that lives in Florida. Do we know about Jeff who lives in Florida?
I don't know Florida Jeff,
okay.
No.
Okay. I bump into him leaving the game. I met this guy years ago at training camp. Comes running up to me. Grant, I don't know if you remember me. And I looked at him. I'm like, dude, Jeff, what's up?
Jeff.
He had obviously made an impact on me because for some reason his name came flying back to me after seeing him for like 12 years.
What's up, man?
He lives in Florida. He's a card dealer at some, I don't know if they have table games or what they have, but he's a card dealer in Florida. He's up overnight dealing cards. So on Sundays, he goes home and showers and changes, goes straight to the airport to catch a 6 a.m. flight to D.C.
Unbelievable.
Season ticket holder. Comes to every game. Flies from Florida to D.C., lands at BWI, rents a car, drives from BWI down to FedEx Field, parks, goes into the game, watches the Redskins. Maybe they win.
What if they do?
Now, they haven't in over a calendar year to, you know, those games he's attended. But he watches the game yesterday in the driving rain. He's soaking wet. He looked awful. No offense, Jeff. He goes, gets in his rental car, drives back to BWI, drops it off, gets a night flight back to Florida. He texted me or emailed me a little bit after 3 a.m. yesterday and said he had just got home.
Can you believe it?
He does it for every game.
I mean, there are people that drive up from North Carolina. I know there's fans that we've talked to who do that.
Yeah.
Just, I feel for them, man.
Let's go to Jeff in Rockville. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, so just calling to thank you for the easiest win of our season. The Niners are looking like the best team in football, and
they're
you guys
good.
Are looking like the same bunch of losers that you were when I called them years
God.
Ago.
Oh, my God, it's stats,
and
Jeff.
That you can
out of the world.
Where have you been?
Be.
Hold on, I got to put you on hold because you're annoying me as much as you used to because you're insufferable.
Stats Jeff,
but
man.
Hold on, I got to have a conversation with this guy. So if people don't know about Stats Jeff, in 2012 till about maybe 2014 or something. I don't
remember.
Yeah,
it's early 2014.
He called the Redskins to troll them about how great Colin Kaepernick was. How'd that work out for you? And how bad Robert Griffin was, which he was batting 500 there, I guess. But he's been gone for 6 years.
Well,
I haven't heard from
this guy.
He
would call every show, not like on our station, but all the stations that take phone calls and read the same line.
Zero tact and zero decorum, and you can't have a conversation with him because he can't listen and talk at the same time.
But his Niners, he's walking tall and proudly in the parade. The Niners are excellent.
They are. So I'm going to take him off hold for a second. I have so many questions. So Jeff, first of all, there's so much feedback. Where have you been?
Oh, he's listening to himself.
I've been right here. Yeah, just watching the games, you know, enjoying.
Yeah, but you haven't called in like 6 years.
6 years? Well, because you wouldn't take my calls, you know, because I beat you down so bad.
That's not correct.
You know, and humiliated you so much that you pretended that you couldn't hear me.
Oh, you stopped calling when we...
14 and 2.
So you couldn't... Thank you, buddy. So I remember years and years ago, he used to call in, and we did a great bit. This was probably 5 years ago. It's one of my favorite things we've done, where he would call in and talk to us, and then we'd act like, we're like, Jeff, are you there? And he would say it again. And Jeff, what's going on?
Why
what's
can't
wrong
we hear him?
Phone?
We should be able to hear him.
So I guess he didn't like that.
No, he didn't.
So that's
that.
Why he didn't call in for 6 years.
It would also
but he came out of the woodwork today. He didn't call after the Niners lost to the Redskins at FedEx a couple years ago. That was his first chance. So he had to, like a groundhog, he had to go back to see his shadow like a year later. So 2 years later, 5 years after his last call, he reemerges.
He didn't call during that 2-14 Chip Kelly season.
He did not.
He went on the horn then.
So he wasn't there for Chip Kelly. He couldn't have called in Kyle Shanahan's first couple years. But yesterday,
6-0,
he said, I'm calling Grant and Danny. I'm happy for you,
Welcome
Jeff.
Back, Jeff.
It's good to hear from you, buddy. I appreciate that you called. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.